Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, April the 13th. And welcome to our commentary. Just again, as I mentioned yesterday, there is a very likely chance, it seems to be, all the experts are expecting this, that Iran is going to attack Israel. It could be at any moment, so this weekend or whenever. And that, of course, is going to create a huge problem, not just for those two countries, but for everybody else in the region. So keep an eye on the news, because it probably will happen. It probably will happen, and the consequences are going to be quite negative. I've got a post over at the American Thinker today, Saturday morning, talking about NPR. And, you know, NPR is, they need some reform. NPR, they need to go in there and make it bring, instead of just focusing on what people look like, or what bathroom they go to, or what their last name is, instead of focusing on that kind of diversity, what they need to do is look for more political diversity so that the network actually represents the United States and not just a liberal segment of our society. So, you know, NPR needs reform, and I hope they get it, because the Congress, of course, I think they're going to take a look at their funding, and they should. They should. I mean, this organization needs to be reformed. They got to bring in more conservative viewpoints, and, you know, they have to balance their act because right now it's a one-way show over at NPR. So check out my my post over at NPR. And one quick thing that I wanted to point out also, I've got a post coming out Sunday morning about Hispanic support. All of a sudden, Hispanics have become a story in 2020. Obviously, it's a growing segment. That's what makes it a story. But, you know, a lot of the media is reporting, and some of this polling data is confirming that Hispanics are all of a sudden interested in, you know, support for building a wall and border enforcement. And actually, I think the media is the one late to the party. I believe that Hispanics have always been in favor of border enforcement. A lot of Hispanics, most of them came to the United States legally, like I did, and like millions of others did. And I think they take a look at this border, and they take a look at this crazy idea that you show up at the border and they give you a little piece of paper to see a judge in 5 or 6 years. They look at that and they go, that's just insane. I mean, that's just utterly, absolutely insane. That's no way to run an immigration policy. And that's why they are taking the positions that they're taking. So check out my post. It'll be out Sunday morning. Well, one of the things that I have been watching and have talked about it in previous videos is that I believe that 2024 is going to be more than just Trump and Biden. I believe that this is really going to be a five-way race. And let me explain. If you look at the RCP average, this is the Real Clear Politics average of polling data. They go back for quite a few months, and they give you like just a simple average. At the moment, this is where it stands. Trump, 42. Biden, 40. Kennedy, almost 10. And then between Cornel West and Jill Stein, they've got about 4. Not quite 4, but, you know, between 3.5 and 4 points between the two of them. So what that means that there is 13 to 14% of the popular vote in 2024 if these projections hold out. And I think they will. If these projections hold out, you've got about 13 to 14% of the popular vote of the votes in this country that are not going to go to Joe Biden or Donald Trump, that they will find a different window to go to. Kennedy, West, Stein. Of course, most of them will go to Kennedy because he's better known and better funded than those other two. And it does look like Robert Kennedy is going to be in all 50 states. They're certainly working on it. And now that he's got a vice president, it's easier to make that happen. But if you have 13 to 14 points of the popular vote going to a combination of those three candidates, that is going to have an impact on the presidential race. And most of those 13 to 14 points, I'm going to go and say that I believe most of them are votes that would go to Joe Biden or people who would stay home. Because if you look at who they represent, I mean, Jill Stein is from the Green Party. So that's environmentalist movement. Cornel West is more of a liberal. And of course, Robert Kennedy, he's not a liberal. I mean, he's got a lot of different points of view, but I think he appeals primarily to the liberal segment of the country. So most of that is going to come from Joe Biden. So that means that any state that Joe Biden won by less than 10 points, all of a sudden, that becomes a very competitive race between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump will get his 44-45% of the vote. Let's say Colorado, he'll get 44-45% of the vote, or Maine, or whatever. But if Biden maybe got, let's say, 51 the last time around, 52, but now he's being dragged down to the mid-40s, that's going to mean that the Democrats are going to have to defend a lot of places that they didn't defend in 2020. So that's going to change not only the possibilities of Trump winning some of those states, probably won't win them, but he'll make them so competitive and so tight that the Democrats are going to have to spend money defending places that they took for granted. New Jersey could be one of them. There's even people talking about New York as a possibility that Trump could make that very close, again, because of this situation of these extra candidates. So we don't know at this point. There's a long time, and these three candidates have to make it to all 50 states. I think Jill Stein will be in all 50 states. She was the last time around. And I'm pretty sure Cornel West is going to be in all 50 states, because they both represent movements or parties that already have put people in 50 states in the past. Kennedy is the one who's going to have to work at it. But either way, no matter how you look at it, when you take 14% of the popular vote and divide it into these three people, that is going to have an impact. There's no question about it. That is going to have an impact on the presidential election. Now, we have had in the past other elections where the third party had an impact. For example, you go back to, I think, the biggest impact of all was 1968. When George Wallace ran as an independent and he won five states and got 14% of the popular vote, that was huge. That was a huge participation by George Wallace, who was a Democrat who walked away from the Democrat Party. And then, of course, in 1992, you had Ross Perot. Ross Perot took 19% of the popular vote. He didn't win any single state, but he certainly made it possible for Bill Clinton to win the presidency with 43% of the popular vote. I mean, without Perot, I think it's fair to say that George Bush would have been reelected president in 1992. And then you have other cases like Ralph Nader. Ralph Nader in 2000 got 90,000 votes in Florida. And that was many, many times more than let's say 10% of those votes had gone to Al Gore. Al Gore would have won Florida and the presidency at the same time. And then you have in the year 2016 in Michigan, you had Jill Stein winning, I think it's 20,000 votes. Well, that would have been, if had those votes gone Democrat, that would have been enough for Hillary Clinton to win Michigan. So you have all these examples. Even though it doesn't add up to a lot of votes, it does make a difference in a close election. So I believe quite strongly that 2024 is not going to be just a two-man race, as we've grown accustomed to. I think it's going to be at least a three-man race, and a very good possibility that the other two make it a five-way race, where those two, the 3 points or 4 points that they get of the total votes, could have an impact in many states. That's where I'm convinced. That's where I see it going. I see this going into a three or five way race, which is going to make it very difficult, I think, for Joe Biden to compete in many of the places that he barely won in 2020. So we'll keep an eye on that information over the next few weeks. Just a few things on this day in history. 1743, Thomas Jefferson was born. You know what makes it interesting, not just that it's Jefferson, but it just goes to show you how young he was when he wrote the Declaration of Independence. That was in 1776, so Jefferson was only 33 when he wrote the most important document, perhaps, in American history, and one of the most important documents in the history of the world. I mean, the phrase, all men are created equal, endowed by their creator, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is one of the most amazing phrases in world history. And it came out of a guy who was 33 years old, Thomas Jefferson, born in Virginia, what is today Virginia, 1743. In 1954, here's a baseball story. In 1954, Henry Aaron made his major league debut with the Milwaukee Braves. Of course, we know the rest of the story. He played ball for the next 20 years and hit 755 home runs. He was passed eventually by Barry Bonds, but at least as far as I'm concerned, he is the all-time king when it comes to hitting home runs. And in 1970, one of the most famous phrases of all time, Houston, we have a problem. Well, that was today in 1970, April 13th, 1970, when Apollo 13 said, Houston, we got a problem. And they sure did. They made it back safely, thank God. But it was for the next 3 or 4 days, the entire world was watching Apollo 13 until they made it safely back to Earth. They, you know, landed in the waters in the Pacific. And I think when that happened, everyone was quite relieved that the men made it back. By the way, that's a great movie. Apollo 13. It's a great movie. One of the best movies, I think, that Hollywood has put out recently. And of course, I'm old enough to remember the movie, but I'm old enough to remember Apollo 13 and watching on TV much of the story. The whole world came together. That's the thing that has always amazed me. The whole world came together in such a way to follow what these three men were doing. And that was beautiful, beautiful to watch, to say the least. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.